Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is the Rich Eisen Show.
And we thank you for sharing that with us.
With guest host, Susie Schuster, live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
What do you think that means to the locker room that they bring Saquon in here?
Saquon got an opportunity to not just choose where he wants to go, but to stick it to his team. And if these teams don't like it, then pay guys.
Earlier on the show, Pro Football Hall of Famer Michael Irvin, director of Apple TV's Dynasty Rise of the New England Patriots, Matthew Hamachek. Coming up, Warriors head coach Steve Kerr. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Susie Schuster.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show underway. Susie Schuster here with you. Thrilled to be with you here today. Kirk Morrison will be in the chair tomorrow. It's been an incredible show, I think, anyway, so far. I think Michael Irvin was amazing. I could listen to the playmaker talk about just about anything, but want to talk about fear of flying? You can check us out earlier and the show here. You can go find it wherever you find your Rich Eisen podcasts. And you can watch us here on Roku Channel 210 as it re-airs. 844-204-RICH is the number. We are excited to take your calls for those of you hanging on. We very much appreciate it. Chris Brockman, how are you, sir?
Hey, Susie, what's up?
Hey, you sound like, usually when you do your segments, you're like, hey, how you doing, guys? Like, I want to just say to you, like, I hope you're excited to talk to me as much as I am to talk to you, especially after our conversation with Matthew Hamachek about the Patriots Dynasty doc that we just uncovered.
Yeah, that was great. Really fun conversation with Matthew. It's been awesome to watch. A few gripes here and there, but overall it's been a real fun trip down memory lane of both the good and the bad of the last 18 years of the Patriots run. Really excited to watch the final two episodes tomorrow.
I cannot wait. If you have not seen the Dynasty on Apple TV, available right here on Roku, you have to do it right now. Start watching, start catching up, and buckle up for the last two episodes. Mikey D, how are you?
Good. How you doing, Susan?
You're good. I like your new drop with
the
Chino.
You love this? Hang on.
Here it comes.
Oh! And Maria, I see.
Breaking news.
There is no breaking news. That was just a
love how we got the boom.
MIIC TJ Jefferson, good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
Did you like the sidecar donuts this morning? I stepped it up for you.
It was so a little bit delicious. Yeah.
Good. I'm so glad.
A little bit delicious.
And you know, I think I watched that documentary. I started it at least before the two of you did the first, and I remember texting you guys like 4 minutes in, and I've already got goosebumps. And I'm not even a Pats fan. It's been amazing so far.
When you watch the episode about Aaron Hernandez, and I'm haunted by Michael Hawley from the Boston Globe. That's how I knew of him. Michael Hawley. Is he at ESPN now? Where is he? Like, I don't even. No,
Michael Hawley's still hosting Brother from Another.
Brother from Another.
Yeah. He's back in Boston doing NBC Sports. Yeah.
I got to tell you, he says at one point, we should have seen the breadcrumbs about Aaron Hernandez. And I got chills thinking.
Yeah.
And as you watch this doc, and Chris, you saw this, the footage they had of Aaron Hernandez, where we weren't expecting it. Like, for instance, at the rookie symposium, as we talked about earlier.
Insane.
Or goofing around on the sidelines and Tom Brady's going to bark at him. Or, as he talked about, maybe calling Bill Belichick daddy. And then they've got a two-shot with a rack focus, which is tight on Aaron Hernandez. And it's Belichick in the background. And it's a little loose, a little foggy, and then back. It was mind-blowing.
Although the one clip of Robert Kraft and Bill talking, and Robert's just like, Aaron's such a great kid. I love him. I'm so glad he's on the team.
He's got such a big heart.
And big heart, and Bill's just flipping the whistle, like not responding.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, whoa.
I think also one of the most chilling parts of that documentary, and especially that episode, and there were a few, is when Hernandez claims that he had gone to Bill and asked for a trade because he knew he couldn't be at home. He had to get out of here. And his trade request was denied. So you kind of wondered, did that really happen? And if so, would that have changed anything? Would these lives not have been shattered all the lives that got demolished.
Yeah, and we don't know if that's true or not, because Bill didn't really address it. He just kind of said it's obviously a tragedy would happen to Aaron, and we're sorry about everything that happened. And then that was it. That was all he spoke about it.
And that was by far the most we've ever seen Bill Belichick speak
about it. Aside from the press conference that happened, you know, when they released him right after. But that was over 10 years ago now.
Yeah. It was incredible.
And, you know, Michael Hawley's one of my oldest friends, so it was really good to see him have such a prominent role, because I know he's written 3 or 4 books on the Patriots, a couple on Belichick, so he's really in the know when it comes to
was fantastic. He was by far one of the stars of the doc. Mm-hmm. Incredible. 844-204-RICH is the number. Steve Kerr, the Warriors head coach, will join us very shortly in about 15 minutes' time. Chris, we got a little news segment first.
Let's get everybody caught up on the day's news. Hit it!
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever, it's Chris Brockman.
So disrespectful. Every time I watch that video, so disrespectful.
Award-winning and all.
All right, guys. How everybody doing? Susie, good? Everybody good?
Hey, how are you?
Great. Happy Thursday. TJ, everybody all right?
I'm doing sensational.
I'm doing great, Brockman.
I don't care how you're doing, Mike.
See, that's not right.
All right, let's get to some news here. Derrick Henry, they let him be a Raven. Man, I can't believe the other 31 teams let this happen. Also, shout out to the Ravens social team yesterday. Put out a phenomenal video. We were featured prominently. TJ, great soundbite in there from you. Derrick Henry met with the Ravens media today. Here he is on joining Baltimore.
This is where I knew I wanted to be. I love the style, the physicality that they play with on all three phases. I feel like it fits my style of play as well. It was really a no-brainer, just trying to figure out the business side of things, and glad we were able to get it figured out.
All right, said he thinks he's going to, you know, he was destined to kind of be there. I threw out an Overreaction Monday podcast, which Rich and I did on a Wednesday, available now wherever you get your podcasts and on the Wednesday Rich Eisen Show YouTube channel. I said that he's going to break the single-season rushing record next year. Ooh. What do you think about that, TJ?
That is a bold statement, my friend.
That's bold.
I don't think that's going to happen strictly because for him to do that, you'd have to really limit a big part of Lamar's game. So I just don't think that there's going to be that many
yards. Here are your options playing defense against Baltimore. Do you try to tackle the guy who's literally the fastest guy on the planet and you can't tackle Lamar Jackson? Or a guy who's a literal Mack truck who will just run you over? Pick your poison, defense.
And like you said on that video that we got, I don't even know where that came from, the Ravens.
At Ravens. Good job.
But yeah, it's like take your pick. Lamar will make you look silly and Derek could possibly hurt you and put you on the shelf for a while.
So you saw the clip of him meeting the media today in Baltimore. He's wearing a fresh purple suit. Here he is on why he chose that outfit.
I actually told Coach Harbaugh this funny story. This is actually the suit I wore to my grandmother's funeral, who raised me. She died in 2016, and this is her favorite color. So whenever Eric told me that I would be coming to do a press, I was like, I got to wear this suit. So we're actually moving this next week, so I was scrambling through boxes, pulling everything out, trying to find this suit and be able to put it together. So, I definitely wanted to wear this color to honor her and show all the fans around Fault Nation that I'm ready, I'm on board.
Oh, my God, I couldn't love
her
anymore.
How excited do you think she would be that you signed with the Ravens? You're in her favorite color.
Oh, yeah, she's definitely excited. The day before free agency, we were outside in my yard playing with my daughter. My grandmother loved butterflies. In Tennessee, I always see a butterfly every practice. And, you know, the house we live in now, never saw one since we've been there. We've been there going on 2 years. And that day, a butterfly just flew around me, like, constantly. And, you know, I knew that was kind of like a reminder that, you know, she was around and everything was going to be all right. So I was felt good.
Wow.
Okay, can you amazing love this kid anymore?
Can I take back what I said about that Russian thing? You should have played that and then asked the question. Now I'm all in. 2105 is going down.
I mean,
that's incredible.
Incredible. By the way, who's going to start pumping out the merch? Like Derrick Henry coming, oh, behave. There's got to be a lot of wire stuff coming for this kid.
Oh, man.
It's just, I mean, good morning, Baltimore. We could do a hairspray take on this, right?
The king is coming.
The king is coming, oh, behave.
Derrick coming.
Derrick coming, oh, behave.
Amazing.
I got to tell you, every team that missed out on him, what were you thinking?
I mean, TJ, Dallas, what are you guys doing?
What were you thinking?
It's like Michael Irvin and I were talking about. I don't know that necessarily maybe Dallas missed out on him. They didn't make a call, apparently, which is stupid because you always got to have due diligence, as we like to say here. But I think the man wanted to go play for Baltimore, and why wouldn't he? You get to pair up with the MVP. You're in a very tough division, hard nose, where your skill set is going to flourish. And like Brockman said, he's going to break the single season rushing
that's
record.
Right. So you heard it here first.
Maybe he just didn't want to go anywhere else. Yeah, I think that's how we have to look at it.
Like, yeah,
that was his destination. You know, and that's where he ended up.
All right, a few of the things across the NFL. Its free agency is still going on. The Lions locked up their executive vice president, Brad Holmes, general manager, and Dan Campbell. Contract extension that's going to keep them through 2027.
Good move.
Congrats to them. Well deserved. They got it going on in Detroit.
Shout out to the Lions fans, man.
Yeah, shout that's out to the Lions fans. They're one of the... They've been struggling for a long time. This is making the rounds. Diana Rossini and others saying that the league is looking into potential tampering violations involving the Eagles in regards to Saquon Barkley, as well as the Falcons and Kirk Cousins. Important to note, it's standard for the league to look into such matter. They literally call it the tampering period. So how can teams tamper early? I'm so confused by that. But looking in the league's looking into those situations. This just happened. Joey Bosa, a lot of thoughts on if he was going to get cut by the Chargers because they're way over the cap. Their cap situation's not that great. He's going to restructure to stay with the Chargers, per sources. Bosa and Khalil Mack agreed to restructure. They were both rumored to possibly be cap casualties. They restructured. They're going to both stay in L.A. This happened yesterday. Joe Flacco wondering where he was going to end up. It's Indianapolis to back up Anthony Richardson. We know Anthony Richardson didn't finish the year last year. Good chance maybe Joe Flacco gets some starts. 1 year up to $8.7 million deal with the Colts. Bobby Wagner, TJ, you would have loved him down in Dallas.
For sure.
He's going to Washington.
Ah.
Bad news for you. 1 year up to $8.5 million. Pre and Rappaport. Yesterday afternoon, the big deal we talked about with Michael Irvin, Calvin Ridley, 4 years, $92 million to the Tennessee Titans, a mystery team, came out of nowhere. Thought he was going to stay in Jacksonville. New England was in on him as well. He goes to Tennessee with Will Levis. They also signed, obviously, Tony Pollard early in free agency. Mason Rudolph, not going back to Pittsburgh. He's also going to Tennessee, presumably to maybe challenge Will Levis or to be his backup when the year starts. He gets $3.62 million from the Titans. Jimmy Garoppolo, that's not right. Jimmy Garoppolo, released by the Raiders.
The chicken hawk.
Jesus, what was that? By the way, I think that's not the first time that I've literally said that.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Hold on. I've made that mistake before.
Do
you have that somewhere?
I'm looking right
now. Look for it. He's released by the Raiders officially. He obviously, you know, he's going to be suspended for the first two games of this coming season. Eric Armstead released by the 49ers. Also, something weird going on with them. Debo Samuel rumored trade, maybe to the Ravens.
By the way,
Eric DaCosta shut that down today, but there's a lot of rumors. You have that play.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, see, that's not the first time that I've made that mistake.
It's not easy.
That's why I just call him Jimmy G.
What's wrong? Just go Jimmy G.
You don't pronounce his last name. It's like Tua. You just call him Tua.
It's like you don't say Roethlisberger.
The Galapagos.
There's certain names you just don't say.
Move on.
Just say Jimmy G.
I like these other shows. We don't have teleprompters. We don't have stuff written
out
for us. It's like, you know, you're going
phonetically.
Through.
That's right, TJ.
Super small type.
That's right.
My eyes are starting to go bad.
Yeah,
Jimmy Garoppolo. Come on now.
Garoppolo.
All right, I saw this story. We haven't talked about this, okay? Baseball news now. We haven't talked about this. And now that Rich is here, we can openly talk about it. Gerrit Cole is kind of in big trouble.
Yeah.
Yankees fans.
Oh, please.
So, Gerrit Cole, you know Dr. Neil Eletrash.
I do, very
right?
well.
Hasn't he cut you open before?
He has.
Well, I mean,
I just edited what I was going to say. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
That's what I mean.
He has cut my knee open and stitched it back together.
Stitched it back together and kind of fixed you.
Uh-huh.
Gerrit Cole is meeting with Dr. Neil Eletrash out here in Los Angeles. So here's the thing. Aaron Boone says no timetable on how long Cole's out, just he's going to start the year. I've seen he's out to the All-Star break.
I don't think you want to go see Neil. He's no. Just no. saying.
At least 1 to 2 months.
Here's the deal. You want to go see Neil because he'll put you together right.
You don't want to go see Neil when opening day's coming up.
You don't want to see him opening day next week. Oh, my
That's
God.
You don't,
oh, boy.
You know. What are we doing?
So he went under an MRI.
That's not a number you want to call.
Earlier this week after reporting some discomfort in his elbow. Not a UCL tear as far as anyone can tell. However, he is going to be out for quite some time. And then here's a story that's making the rounds. Now, don't know if it's real or not, guys.
Sources say?
Don't know if it's real.
Sources.
Okay? In Pittsburgh, TJ, you know how much they love the Pens.
I used to love
it. Pittsburgh. Yarmer Yager, great mullet. Still playing at his 50s. Bobblehead nights going down.
This is crazy.
There is a report, okay, that the Penguins announced this themselves, which makes me think it's maybe a little fishy. Their entire shipment of Yarmer Yager bobbleheads was stolen heading into tonight's game against San Jose Sharks. They're going to get now a voucher that includes a one-time scannable barcode to get the bobblehead at a later date. Quote, when the items are safely located or new bobbleheads are produced and available for distribution. Is this passing the smell test?
I don't have any idea where the bobbleheads are. No idea. I have no idea.
This is an insane story, right? This is ridiculous, right?
So hold on. So like Goodfellas, like these guys, like Jimmy Conway is boosting a truck of Yarmer Yager bobbleheads.
Someone's got the disc.
Well, he boosted the truck. Didn't know that there were bobbleheads in it.
Is that what I'm meant to believe?
You get that back, and you're like, I got these.
Because, like we said earlier, what are there, about 14,000? Because normally not everyone in attendance gets this. So
yeah, usually it's like the first 10,000.
Yeah, something like that. So that's crazy, man. And what are you going to do with them?
According to the story, okay, the team learned it was a victim of the cargo theft after it failed to receive the shipment scheduled before the game. It was determined the theft likely occurred when the shipment arrived in California.
It's always California.
We are shocked to learn we were a victim of cargo theft.
Yo, let me tell you something.
Said Penguins president of business ops, Kevin Acklin.
If I go downtown around 8th Street and see some Yarmer bobbleheads.
Oh, yeah. Long Beach docks, Mikey? Is there boosting trucks?
Yeah, you know, I took the boat down here, picked up a couple bobbleheads.
Come on now. All I'm saying is if you're listening to us or watching us and you know where these bobbleheads are, leave a couple outside the studio for me.
Come on now.
I'd appreciate
what
is you.
Going I take it they were not made in America.
There's one on eBay, but it's an old one that's $23. So if you sell them, you can make a couple bucks on those bad boys.
Wow. All right, Players' Championship going on here in Florida. Roy McIlroy, Xander Schauffele, your leaders, 7-under. And that's the news.
All right.
Susie, back to you.
Yeah, I'm busy texting with Steve Kerr, sending him the Zoom link.
Well, okay. Mikey,
talk amongst yourselves.
I'll tell Mikey this because I know he loves her. I was watching AEW last night, and your girl Sasha Banks has now made a 2-year return to Stateside Wrestling as Mercedes Moné, the CEO. And I thought about calling you last night and telling you to turn on AEW because you love Sasha Banks.
Yes. One of my favorites.
Attaboy, Mikey. Great job.
All right, when we come back, Steve Kerr will join us. As long as I don't screw up the Zoom link thing, I'm putting on Liz Weld because so she doesn't.
I mean,
just in case I like cut and paste wrong.
Paste.
I'm just saying, guys, really I'm multitasking over here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's see you do that.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Title Transference aired October 27, 2004. Director James Marshall, writers Todd Slavkin, Darren Swimmer. I really like this episode, and I'm surprised that you don't like it as much as you thought you did.
I actually respect your opinion more than I respect my own in general. When you say things are good and I check them out, they are.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.
First up is the point guard from the Venice Beach Locals, Sydney Dean.
Great handle. Mm-hmm. Somewhat of a trash talker, a little bit of a gym rat, but really hustles out on the floor.
That's right.
He is undersized and tends to over dribble a little bit, and he also tends to hustle in a negative fashion. But he has played against quality competition, including Freeman Williams, Nigel Miguel, who played at UCLA, Marcus Johnson was in that movie, and then Gary Moeller, who played at UC Santa Barbara, whose dad pitched for the Dodgers, Joe Moeller.
Next up is from Hickory High School, shooting guard Jimmy Chitwood.
Jimmy Chitwood, spot-up shooter, tends to demand the ball, especially in huddles. He'll make his teammates better, although not particularly supportive of Ollie when he took that free throw, those free throws at the end of the game, the underhanded free throws against Cedar Knob was the opponent. And who doesn't enjoy saying Cedar Knob on national radio? The problem, he's not always motivated, and Jimmy Chitwood tends to get a little chummy with the alumni. And I think a little questionable relationship with his teacher, Barbara Hershey.
Wow.
I think
wow. All right, last one for you. This is he plays tons of position, guard, forward, and center from Beacon Hills High School. Teen Wolf. Jay, what do you think about his abilities?
Teen Wolf, whose name in the film was Scott Howard, when he wasn't a wolf. Great vertical leap, plays above the rim. I think you could refer to him literally and figuratively as a beast. Only 5'3", but plays much bigger.
Yep.
The problem is he comes from a small town in Nebraska, so he'd have to cut family ties. And then he's occasionally violent, although his hair is perfect.
Susie Schuster in for Rich Eisen. Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. Sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger's got the right product for you. Just call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. I asked my friend Steve Kerr to zoom in, and you were awfully nice to do so. Great to have you on the show, and thanks for always making the time for us.
Yeah, good to be on with you, Susie. How you doing?
I'm great. I'm great. We were just joking about how the Pittsburgh Penguins had lost a shipment of Jaromir Jagr bobbleheads, and they're saying that it was stolen. Now, we think it's a really crazy story. Wondering what your favorite piece of useless memorabilia might be. Not that a Jaromir Jagr bobblehead wouldn't be a collector's item for families across the country.
You know, the bobblehead stuff has exploded over the last 10 years. We have so many creative bobbleheads for the Warriors. I have a bunch of them in my office. There's one with Klay Thompson on his kayak with his dog in the back of the kayak. So I think that's my favorite.
That's fantastic. How have you dealt with Klay Thompson this year with your decision to have him come in off the bench? How did that go?
You know, Klay is, we've been together 10 years, so we have a great relationship. We've known each other for so long. We've been through so much. This year has been a challenge for Klay because he's used to being, you know, this Hall of Fame scorer, defender, all-star, and coming off two career-threatening injuries, you know, an Achilles and an ACL at, you know, now 33, 34 years old. That stuff's not easy, you know, and all athletes have to deal with their own mortality at some point. And I think Klay's been going through some of that. And my job as his coach is to help him through it, to help him understand how he can still be effective, because he's still really good. You know, I just think he has such high standards for himself that he wants to be great every single night. And it's just not going to happen like that. And so he's really found peace. I think the decision to ask him to come off the bench, I think in some ways it's helped take some pressure off of him. He's really embraced it. He's in a good place mentally, probably the best place he's been in all year. And he's played really, really well since we made that move.
Steve, I'm wondering, we just had Matthew Hamacek on, the director of the Dynasty, the New England Patriots doc that's on Apple right now. And we were talking about Bill Belichick at length. I'm wondering who the coaches are that have influenced you the most. They don't just have to be in the NBA, but across sports.
Oh, man, what a great question. You know, my own coaching mentors, I think everybody would figure that out if they followed my playing career. I mean, Phil Jackson and Greg Popovich are just incredible coaches, Hall of Fame coaches. Same with Lute Olson. All of them influenced me so much. I would say the coach who influenced me the most from outside of basketball is probably Pete Carroll. And I just love Pete. I love his energy. I love his authenticity. I went and visited him in Seattle and watched him work. Actually, it was the summer before I started my job with the Warriors. And we were connected by mutual friends, and I just wanted to see how he went about his business. And I spent about 3 days there sitting in on meetings, going to practices, and I was just blown away. I think Pete is probably the guy. If you want to learn how to coach and teach culture, I don't think there's anybody better than Pete. And so we've remained friends and stayed in touch over the years. I'm just a huge fan of how he coaches and how he treats his players. And he had a huge impact on me for sure.
Steve Kerr joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show. Susie Schuster in for Rich. And I love that because I covered Pete for his USC run here. So got to know him really well and just absolutely love him as a person. I wonder how you find coaching the younger guys changes as you get older and how you're able to relate to them and get them to play for you. Obviously, Nick Saban's been really vocal saying how much of a part of his decision to retire came from NIL and dealing with these guys. So how do you continue to find ways to relate to some of these young players?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an important part of growing as a coach. If you get stuck in your ways and you're not expanding and you're not learning, you're going to get left behind no matter who you are. And I think when I look at guys like Pete or Nick Saban or Greg Popovich, guys who have coached for, you know, many, many years and spanning different eras, different age groups, I think they all share the same thing in common, which is an openness to learning, just being lifelong learners and adapting to the players as generations change, as the social norms change. You really have to adapt as a coach. And I think it's actually what makes it kind of fun too. You know, as the players get younger and society changes and you kind of connect with the guys and you get to know them. It's a fun part of the job because you grow really strong relationships that way. And again, it's the coaches who are open to learning who are the ones who tend to last longest and to have success for a long period of time.
What is the state of the union of the Golden State Warriors?
I think we're actually in a pretty good place. I mean, when you consider what we've done for, you know, the last decade, even going back before I got here, you know, with Mark Jackson for a couple of years, this run has lasted 12 years. And it's not easy keeping these things going. But what we're trying to do is grow our young talent base, which I feel good about. We've got some good talented guys with Kuminga and Moody and Trace Jackson Davis, Brandon Podziemski. But our older guys are still really good. They're still really relevant. Steph's at the top of his game. Draymond and Clay are still very effective. This year has been about finding that mix of putting them all together and finding success. And I feel good about our team. You know, we're hopeful that Steph's going to be back Saturday against the Lakers. And if we can stay healthy, I really like our chances to make a push. I know we're not where we want to be, but this is also the reality of an aging team that's also trying to, you know, get the next era ready. And this league is fiercely competitive, but, I like our squad. I like our group, great chemistry, great energy. And I hope we can, you know, get healthy down the stretch and make a really good run.
How's Steph's ankle?
It's good. Yeah, we escaped what could have been a bad situation. He's been practicing the last couple of days with our G League team in the city while we've been on the road, and he's going to meet us in L.A. tomorrow for practice. And if he goes through practice fine, then he'll be in the lineup Saturday. But we'll take it day by day.
Do you talk to Pop very much, Greg Popovich, about Wembanyama? I'm just curious because even my 13-year-old said to me, "Mom, you've got to ask Coach about the Trayce Jackson-Davis dunk on Wemby the other night because it really looked like it energized your team." And this kid is he's so massive. His leg went flying up in the air. He looked like a marionette for a second.
Yeah, you know, we played the Spurs back to back the last few days, and I had a chance to visit with Pop before our game in San Francisco, and then after the one in San Antonio. We're great friends. He remains a mentor for me. I'm coaching the Olympics this summer, and he was the Olympic coach, in 21. So I'm asking him his advice on that stuff. But I did ask him about Wembanyama, and he loves him. He said he's really coming along, and he thinks he's going to be a great, great player. And it's easy to see. I mean, he just there's never been anybody like him at that size with that skill. The dunk by Trayce the other night was just one of the plays of the year. Just I don't know how Trayce got it over the top of Victor. I mean, that's I didn't know it was humanly possible.
And now we hear that there's a brother that's going to be even taller, which is scary because I can't even imagine having one Wemby, but to have two just seems greedy.
How about being mom and having to feed those guys? That wouldn't be easy.
I mean, we have to see the mother versus the Kelsey mom. I mean, this is this is another reality show as we're putting these together, always spitballing here on the Roku channel. If you don't coach, what would you do?
I did have a job as a broadcaster at one point, and I loved that. It was a great time for me in my life because my kids were under the roof still, and I had a lot of time with them, but stayed in touch with the game. You know, it's funny because Pop and Phil were always known as these guys who had a lot of interest outside the game. And yet, when it came down to it, they both could not stay away. Phil came back to the Knicks as GM. Pop has coached for 25 years now. I just can't imagine doing anything else. I do have interest outside the game, but I don't have the passion for anything like I do for coaching and basketball and being part of a team. So I can't imagine doing anything else, to be honest with you.
It's hard when you're so used to living this life and you've achieved such a high level at it. What's your favorite Phil Jackson story?
My favorite Phil Jackson story, Dennis Rodman was drifting apart from the team one year emotionally. He was a very quiet guy, behind the scenes and separated himself from the group sometimes. So Phil would try to pull him back in. And so one day in Philadelphia, we had a game. And after the game, we had that night free staying in Philadelphia. Phil came to Judd Bushler and me, and he said, "Hey, listen, Dennis is drifting away from the team. I want you guys to go with him to Atlantic City tonight. He chartered a bus. He's going down there to play blackjack, and I want you guys to hang with him." And Judd and I were like, "Oh, okay. Well, we're just the guys for the job." So we had a wild night with Dennis in Atlantic City. Stayed out all night. Came back to the hotel at like 7 in the morning, and we had to practice that morning. And as we walked into the hotel, there was Phil looking at us, and Judd and I didn't know how to behave. And he just said, "Go get your stuff on. Practice starts in 2 hours." And Dennis had the day off because all the starters had the day off. And he just turned to us and said, "See you later, suckers." And it was that story perfectly encapsulates Phil, because no other head coach would encourage a couple of his players to spend a crazy night with Dennis in a casino. But Phil understood people. He understood Dennis. He knew the power that he had on our team. And that was Phil's solution, which was genius.
I can see the look on his face. I think I've seen it several times from covering the Lakers with him, so I totally get it. What do you know about Dennis Rodman that we don't know?
That he is a kind, gentle soul who loves his teammates. He is emotional. He's passionate about life, about people, about the game. So everything that you know, you saw or that you continue to see, I guess, at times, to me is kind of an act. It's just, you know, it's just Dennis kind of messing around. But at his core, he's just a wonderful soul.
Two more questions for Steve Kerr before you go. We were talking, as I said, about the Patriots Dynasty documentary. Would you ever want maybe one of something like that on the Warriors, or, you know, did you ever watch any of those? And what are your thoughts on them? Obviously, you were part of the Jordan one.
I can't wait to watch the Dynasty. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm a huge NFL fan, and I love stories like these. I know how popular The Last Dance was. It is very invasive, though, to have cameras behind the scenes at all times. And I was actually shocked that Phil agreed to do that in The Last Dance. I think there probably will be something done on the Warriors, but I don't think I would let the cameras behind the scenes 24/7. That you just have to have some sanctity in the locker room. You have to have some privacy and some moments that don't get shared with the world. But these days, that's almost impossible. The way the game is covered, the way sports are in general. But these stories, as a fan, they're just fascinating to watch.
I mean, fascinating is the only word. I can't talk about it enough. Last question. I love and appreciate and value how outspoken you are about politics and social justice and the like. Steph Curry saying that he wouldn't rule out a career in politics after playing basketball. Thoughts on Governor Curry?
He's one of the finest human beings I've ever met. And I've met a lot of wonderful people in my time, but Steph is so talented, but so authentically humble and yet incredibly gifted and confident all at once. It's this wonderful combination. The way he treats people, the way he uses his popularity for good, he'd be amazing because he genuinely cares about people and the welfare of his community in the Bay, and I'd vote for him.
What about you? Would you ever enter politics?
I can't imagine. My pet project is gun violence prevention. As you know, I lost my dad to gun violence when I was 18. He was 52. I'm very passionate about doing something in our country to reduce gun violence because we do have a problem that exists in no other country in the world. So the solutions are there. The answers are there. I imagine I will be very involved in that capacity and in being part of the movement as the younger generation rises, as the younger kids in this country get into places of being public servants, being elected servants in our country, there's going to be change, and I'd like to be part of it. I'd like to help because it's an epidemic that needs to be stopped, and it's insane, really, what we allow in this country when we know there are solutions out there.
Well, I'm so grateful to have met you through that and to continue to work with you on that. And I want to say thank you for your time. I know how busy you are. I appreciate that you made the time to join us here today and really looking forward to seeing you right back on the show whenever possible.
Thanks so much for having me, Susie.
Have a great day. Thanks again, Coach.
Thank you. Appreciate
it. That's Steve Kerr of the Golden State Warriors and just an incredible human being and an advocate for all good things. It's great to have him here on the show.
And one of the all-time winners in NBA history,
absolutely,
too.
Yeah.
And the best part about watching some of these behind-the-scenes docs, like the Jordan one, is, you know, Steve is such an altruistic human being and so kind and so thoughtful. But one of the funniest parts of the doc was when he talks about getting into a fistfight.
Yeah, right.
Right? And you're like, oh, it's the same guy.
I know. Peaceful, nonviolent.
And think about
peaceful,
just nonviolent. Squaring up with Michael Jordan. You know, like, what's going through your head, right, is you get into the stance.
That's exactly right.
You know?
I love it. Everyone's had a first act. You know, and the other thing is that he talked about how intrusive these cameras are in the locker room.
Right.
And yet he said there will probably be something here on the Warriors because there's always somebody taking a video.
Especially now in today's society. Yeah. I'm really surprised, like, you know, the Patriots doc you know, The Last Dance, that they had video from back in those days, because it wasn't as common, right, to film as much things back in the 90s, the 80s.
Yeah, so not everybody walked around with a camcorder.
Day, yeah, everyone. And they were our dynasty. They were our NBA dynasty for this generation. So
it is amazing, TJ, how many shots they had, as we go yet again back to this incredible doc, of just Bill Belichick at 4 a.m,
yeah,
putting the key in the door.
Exactly, or walking on
in
the treadmill.
Or
backing up out of his garage with snow all over the place.
I was shocked at all that, too. Robert Kraft just sitting in his office, reading the newspaper, on the phone. Really interesting. I mean, like you said, what, 35,000 hours of footage that he had to go through?
That's insane.
Somebody's walking around with a camcorder. It's incredible.
TJ, you're right. Steve Kerr, one of the all-time winners. Five-time NBA champ as a player, four-time NBA champ as a coach, Olympic gold medalist as an assistant coach in 2020.
Yep.
Love hearing his thoughts on Pete Carroll, too. That's not who I thought he was going to pull out.
Yeah,
when he mentioned
we're
coaches.
Assuming, you know, Pop is obvious, you know, and Phil, but another coach from another sport, yeah, I didn't see that one coming.
No, I loved it. Draymond Green, I forgot to ask him about Draymond because he was out with back spasms, but I guess he's cleared and he's fine and back in.
You know what I would love to see on Roku, Brockman, like maybe a three-part scripted series of what went on that night in Atlantic City with Rodman and Steve Kerr. Was it Judd Bushler? I want to see that.
Who's playing third base? Like, who's sitting first seat at the blackjack table? Who's in the middle? And who's playing third base?
I wanted to start with them walking into the hotel, getting out of their car at 7 a.m., walking in the hotel and seeing Phil. And he's like, how was your night? And then it kind of like, and it goes to, it starts with him like, you guys need to hang out with Dennis tonight.
Dennis drinking 38 vodka cranberries and splitting sixes, all kinds of weird stuff.
You know, money ain't a thing with those guys, you know.
Splitting sixes.
Pretty incredible. I mean, can you imagine just being a fly on the wall and you're sitting there in this random casino and in walks Rodman?
You're at the Taj in an AC. In the late 90s, Mikey, come on.
It's grungy. It's dirty.
The AC.
AC's been grungy and dirty.
AC was dirty.
And here comes
it's not like it's getting
place. Well, yeah.
Have you been to AC?
A bunch of times.
Have you, Mike?
My fantasy draft used to be in Atlantic City every summer.
Oh, really?
Before a bunch of us moved out to California.
So that was the spot.
We were all East Coast.
AC, once you got.
It would always be at AC.
To where the casinos, it was fine. Getting to where the casinos is like a little. Shady.
Pretty shady. My buddy's car got broken into outside AC's of a Dunkin' Donuts, and they stole. Remember back in the day?
Of course it did.
Remember you had the big binder full of CDs for your car?
They stole the binder.
Stole his binder, like a duffel bag.
A binder of CDs.
Not a great place, Atlantic City.
So, yeah, you're up, and then in walks a 6'8 brother with green hair, like, painted nails, and it's like, man.
And then he's accompanied by 2'6'5 white guys, and you're just like, what is happening right now?
I went to Atlantic City once. Yeah. I don't remember why. Is that a bad sign?
No. There were a lot of like day trips people would take.
Trip, Mikey.
No, I mean you could take the buses. It was a big thing in New Jersey. Oh, in the 80s.
I wasn't
the
taking no stinking bus.
Well, Susie was getting on the Peter Pan.
I wasn't taking no stinking bus.
Peter Pan bus.
I wasn't taking no stinking bus.
I mean, it was like that. It was a big thing back then.
I know.
Then.
All right, let's go to break. Let's wrap up the show when we get back. I got four shows of Hairspray this weekend to go to. So good morning, Baltimore, indeed.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
I got an email today from the LenPenzo.com HR department. I find it really interesting. I'm an employee of one at this company, but somebody from the HR department sent me an email telling me that I had a raise. If I just opened the attachment, I could see how much my raise was.
Make sure you click on the links that are in there, too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I can't wait. I'm excited.
Find out more by searching the Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
Hi there. Sorry for the interruption, but are you enjoying this show on Google Podcasts? You should know that the Google Podcasts app is going away this spring. That's right, going away, gone, as in no longer available. You can still enjoy this show elsewhere, though. Try out Spotify or Amazon Music, or maybe TuneIn is more your style. Whatever app you switch to, be sure to follow so you never miss the next episode. And thanks for listening, wherever you listen.
Wrapping up this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. So the Penguins had a burglary of sorts. Their Jaromir Jagr bobblehead dolls were stolen. And here's what the Penguins tweeted out about an hour and a half ago. We've got a video here. We've got some late-breaking stuff.
Buckle up, baby. Let's go find your friends.
Hashtag Jagr watch.
What is going on?
What is happening in Pittsburgh?
I'm with it. I'm here for it. Let's go.
It's fantastic, but something really, something very fishy, as you said, for the Penguins. What's happening?
They're trying to pull the wool over our eyes.
By the way, we got,
they think
we
we're
got
asleep at the wheel.
We got suckered into a scam here, didn't we? This feels very Ocean's 45. I mean, I got to tell you, a lot of people were reacting to this. We're not the only idiots who jumped on this story.
We got our truck stolen in 2014.
And that was legit. Okay? That's why we're sensitive.
And that was real.
That was real.
So, you know, it's a brotherhood. Hey, you get your car jacked. Your truck gets jacked. We feel for you.
Yeah, I know.
We get it.
What is going on? Can you imagine if somebody had actually stolen a truck full of baubles?
Well, we were imagining that for about 2 hours.
We're the idiots that bought on that story.
Look, we also love a great story and a great prank, too, so I'm here for it. Let's see how this plays out.
A lot of people got fooled by this.
By the way, they won't get fooled again. Hey, now.
If
we could only afford that drop,
why wouldn't you
save fantastic.
This for April 1st, though, is my question. If you're going to try to pull off a heist like that, you know, you had
three
more
weeks.
Well, is
the Penguins, are they going to still be playing on April 1st?
Hey, come on, guys.
You know, that's not a wasted opportunity. That is a wasted opportunity.
As
they really should have done that.
Fool prank, I'm just saying.
You're not wrong at all. You're not wrong at all. Wrapping up this third hour of the Rich Eisen Show. Happy to be with you guys. Guys, I just used Game Time. I took Cooper to the Lakers game.
Yeah, we heard.
It was sick and amazing.
You went to a basketball game.
I went to a basketball game. Sorry, I did use Game Time.
Right. Well done.
Thanks. And I could see where I was sitting.
Yep.
I like to know ahead of time. I get the last minute deals because I'm always late. By the way, everyone's late in LA. So if you're late in LA, you know you're going to be late. You use Game Time because up to an hour after the game starts or wherever you are, the concert, what have you, you get a break. You get to know you're not going to get screwed on money. And that's the most important thing. So browse through the app and just get yourself a nice little deal. And by the way, use the code RICH for $20 off of your first purchase. So download the app, create your account, terms apply, create that account, and redeem the code RICH for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Well, if you missed any of the show, and if you did, where have you been? It's going to re-air on Roku, which we love. So we will see you here on Roku, but go find this show wherever you find your Rich Eisen Show podcast and what have you, because I thought Michael Irvin for two segments was phenomenal. TJ, I hope that he was able to comfort you of any of your concerns Cowboys related. Mm-hmm. I like to deliver for you.
And you did.
With the playmaker.
You came through.
Again, for anybody who missed it, you guys, you got to see this documentary on the Patriots. And I don't say that as a Patriots fan. I say that as a documentary fan. And I say that as somebody who is so jealous of the boatload of material that Matthew Hamachek had to go through. And so that series is on Apple. And Steve Kerr, what a gentleman. And he got in at 1:30 in the morning from Dallas. And for him to get up and
you looked great.
Not only be up, but on time.
He looked rested.
He looked refreshed, didn't he? He looked like he'd had a long night's sleep. He had a lot more than I did.
Same.
I mean, I was kind of jealous of that. He actually looked like, there, I look refreshed. Do you know what that's from? Mikey, what do you got?
Blazing Saddles.
Thank you very much. Lily Von Stupp. There, I feel refreshed.
The voice. Susie did the voice. I got it.
I love you, Mikey. You know me. You get me.
Of course, Suze. You get me. Back.
Mike, she's the one that defends you all the time. Says I'm being too mean to you.
I know
it's
that.
True. All right, so here's what I have this weekend while Rich is away. And Kirk Morrison will be in the chair tomorrow. I said he could come.
I was wondering, what do you got going on tomorrow that's more important than hanging with us?
By the way, you know it wasn't my choice, so I'm just saying we have to have other people around for when I go on vacation, too. But, I mean, I do like spending time with you, TJ.
Well, I mean, I like the fact that you bring treats and donuts.
So you're using me for my sidecar donuts. Is that what you're saying?
No one else looks out for us.
No, they don't.
So, you know, there's that.
No, they don't. So here's what my weekend looks like. 4 shows of Hairspray.
That seems like a lot.
I'm going to 2.
I'll say you have 2 shows of Hairspray.
I can't go to all. Maybe you should bring Cage.
So you don't have 4. You have 2.
I have, there are 4. I'm going to 2.
Cage has been sick all week. He's finally back to school today.
Really?
He's lost 2 pounds. I'm a little worried about
him. Oh, but a little muffin. I'll feed him. I'll feed him. Bring him to my house. Cage boy.
He hasn't been eating.
Yeah, we'll feed him at our
house. That was my point.
I know, muffin. Right, what, do you have a fever?
Low energy. Stomach bug.
I'm sorry to hear that. Coop's under the weather.
Yeah.
I had to dose him up to go to school today.
I think it's going around right now.
Yeah, totally. I feel
like something's going around.
We got a tennis match tomorrow and Sunday. I've got all-star basketball tonight at 6 on the other side of town and Saturday.
Does Tay-Tay?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Tay-Tay's all-star team. She's in this Pan Pacific Rec League. They put up so many numbers on the kids the other night. For the second game in a row, they had to turn off the scoreboard.
Oh, my goodness.
And the girls were pissed. They're like, how am I going to know what the score is? I said, you're up 35-0 at the half.
Well,
that's Caitlin Clark.
That's a teachable moment. It's not football. It's like, what are we doing here?
I know. We all actually cheered when they finally put up 2.
Turn the scoreboard off. You see that?
But by discouraging other teams, you're also discouraging the winners.
What do you mean?
Don't
because
hate,
they
appreciate.
They want to see like how well they're doing.
They know if they're scoring every time and the other team's not scoring, you can do the math.
You can't.
Second half, no layups allowed.
Oh, no layups allowed.
So you know what happened? It got downright greedy. It got downright greedy. We had girls like just. It was like the triangle offense. It was a thing of beauty.
From half court.
So no layups, so now we're going to shoot 3s.
Now they're just launching missiles. It was hysterical.
Like I said,
it was good.
You can't stunt their growth.
Nope.
Because the other ones can't really keep up.
No,
these
poor kids. Anyway, so that's what my weekend looks like, people.
Susie, that comes from someone who lost his first 4th grade game 2-0.
Oh, no.
2-0.
2-0. I'll
Wait,
never forget.
Wait, basketball?
It. Yes.
Wait till we start watching Cage Brockman playing with the Yankees. We're going to bring all the kids popcorn.
Don't get him angry. Yeah.
It's going to be great.
Literally, in stripes and
literally, you're not coming.
I can't wait.
For all of us here at the Rich Eisen Show, thank you for taking us in however you take us in.
Peace.
See you next time.
Movies, TV shows, books, podcasts, and more. It's What Women Binge with Melissa Joan Hart and her friend Amanda Lee.
We have Lauren Bosworth with us.
Yay!
The Hills. So what is like your number one question from fans?
The primary question I still get asked was, is it real? In 2024, to me, is a surprising question to get because I feel like everybody has been through the reality TV gauntlet at this point.
What Women Binge, wherever you listen.